this morning to the book of John. Brother Randy just now reached over and hit record. He's learned that I very often have something trivial to say before the preaching, and he just waits until I say, open your Bibles, and then he presses the button. You'll open your Bibles to the book of John. I was begged by Sister Diana not to begin John until she got back from her daughter's house, and I didn't listen to her, and we started it last week, so you just have to catch up. So she said, hold off, stay in Genesis, don't start till I get back, and I just couldn't do it. But anyhow, last Sunday morning, we're only one sermon into this, though. So last Sunday morning, we began the book of John, and we looked at some of the key facts of the book, and we looked at the fact that the book of John deals with the deity of Christ, the fact that He is God, that Jesus is God. And that's what the whole book is about. Remember that Matthew shows Jesus the Messiah, the King of the Jews. It's a largely Jewish book written to the Jews. Mark shows Jesus the servant, that model servant. You'll remember a few years ago, if we can remember back a few years ago, that was the first book that we went through after I came here, was the book of Mark. Jesus as the servant. The book of Luke, it shows Jesus the Son of Man, meaning His humanity, the fact that Jesus, that God became man. And then John is Jesus the Son of God, His deity, the fact that He is God, has always been, has never ceased to be, and never will cease to be. That's what we looked at last week. And the first point that I had here was, who is He in this first book, this first chapter of this book? Who is He? And this is what we saw. We'll not go over all this again. We'll just very quickly remind ourselves what we've already looked at in chapter 1. He is God. Verse 1 makes it clear. He is God. He is eternal. Jesus Christ, He's God. He's eternal. Verse 1 tells us both of those truths. Verse 3 tells us that He is the Creator. Jesus Christ is the Creator. And verses 4 and 7 tell us that He is the life and He is the light. Jesus Christ is the life and He is the light. He's not a life, He's not a light. He is the life, He is the light. And so, we looked at that last week, and your question may have been, Pastor, what, you know, we know this. We know who Jesus is. We don't doubt who Jesus is. Why is this important that we spend time going through this book of John like this? Why is it important that we slow down and look at who He is? And many of you would look at me this morning, and maybe you were thinking this last week, and say, I know this. I know He's God. I know He's eternal. I know He's the Creator. I know He's the life. I know He's the light. I know that nobody can be saved but by Him. Why are we doing this? Why are we looking at this? Don't you like hearing it again? Don't you just like being reminded of that? Isn't it good to hear that? There's not a person in here who heard a song that they liked and said, that was good, now I never want to hear it again. We say that about bad songs. That was terrible, I don't ever want to hear that again. You know, those songs, we talked a couple weeks ago about those things that get in your head and it's hard to get out. And we didn't talk about songs. We talked about jingles and commercials and things like that. But there are songs that sometimes you'll see them. You'll see the name written. Maybe it'll be online. You'll think, I'm not going to click on that song. I'll never get it out of my head. We'll do that in our house. We know the songs that get on one another's nerves, and we'll walk through the house and we'll sing a line of it, and then I'll hear Amy from the other room, thanks a lot, Grant. You're welcome, babe. Did that just for you. Kids will do it to me. They'll come in, they'll start singing something just because they know I can't stand that song and I can't get it out of my head. And we walk around doing that, and it's a joke. So there are things we would rather not ever hear again. We would rather never hear that song again. But the facts of Jesus Christ and who He is, don't you long to hear that over and over and over again? It's so much greater than your favorite song. It's so much greater than a 3-minute song that has nothing to do with anything really, just an empty song. These are the truths about the One who saved us from hell. Sing them over again to me. And how about I love to tell the story? Those who know it best seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Don't you just love to be reminded of who Jesus Christ is? And let's go beyond that. Let's go one step beyond that. Yes, we love to be reminded of who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for us. There are times in our lives we need to be reminded who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for us. Because there are times when we let the cares of this world, we let work, we let family, we let health, we let finances, we let responsibilities. They might not even be bad things, just things that need to be taken care of. Sometimes we let those things take our gaze off of Him, and we just need to be reminded. Once in a while, we just need to be reminded of who our Savior is. Maybe we just kind of get careless sometimes. Now let me ask you this. As we went last week through these verses, some of these verses, and looked at who Jesus is, let me ask you two questions. Have you made the right decision based on who He is? Have you agreed with what the Bible says and then put your faith and trust in Him? Okay, if you have, if you're saved, then let me ask you this. Are you living your life accordingly to these facts? Are you living as though you believe with every fiber of your being that Jesus Christ is God, He's eternal, He's the Creator, He's the light, and He's the life? Are you living as though those truths really mean something in your heart, in your mind, and in your life? Or are you living as though, yeah, well, he might be God? Are we living as though we really believe, hey, can it be told from what we say, from what we think, from how we deal with people? Can it really be said of us, boy, that person's living like they really believe. That person's living like Jesus really is God. Well, He is. Is the life that we're living a testimony to the fact that we believe He is God, He's eternal, He's the Creator, He's our light, and He's our life? You see, we can be saved, but not always be living as though these things are true. We know that they're true, but sometimes we let other things creep in. So we have established who Jesus Christ is. We have that. Now let's look at what He did. Obviously, we're not going to look at everything that He did for two reasons. We're going to have to go through the book of John to look at a lot of things specifically. And this book right here tells us that everything He did hasn't been recorded. There wouldn't be enough books to hold. You couldn't record everything. That's what John tells us, that Jesus did so many more things. So many more things. So we're not, this morning what we're doing is we can't look at everything Jesus did. All we can do is look at what the Bible tells us that He did, because everything wasn't recorded. And we're going to look at specific things that He did as we go through the book. This morning what I'm talking about when I say what did He do, I mean in general. Let's begin here in general, what did He do? And then as we go through the book, we'll begin to look at the specific events that show us what He did. Does that make sense? We'll look at what He did in general, and then we'll see it manifest itself throughout the book. What did He do? Find verse 7. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we're going to look at what Jesus did, but here in just a minute, we're going to read these verses, and before we get rolling, I'm going to once again disprove Calvinism real quick, okay? So let's read this, let's disprove Calvinism, and then let's get back to what Jesus did, because I can't go past this verse without touching on it. Let's look at verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Okay, the same is talking about John the Baptist bearing witness of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're talking about John the Baptist and how he witnessed of Jesus Christ. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, meaning John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear God, I just pray for help this morning to preach it the way that you would have me to, and that we would all be convicted and changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I tell you what, I'm reading through these verses and just more things are jumping out at me, and I have begun to question why I even bother making notes anymore. When all of these things, there's something else here I want to preach about too while we look at this. But hold on. I don't want to get things out of line here, but there's something else there in verse 8 that I want to preach about that just now stood out to me. But let's look at verse 7, okay? Let's look at verse 7. There are those who would believe the teachings of a man named John Calvin. And did you know that John Calvin was right about a lot of verses? He was right about a lot of Bible. He was wrong about election and predestination and foreknowledge. He was wrong about that. And John Calvin taught and believed, and many people today still believe what he taught, and that is that God chose before the foundation of the world, that he chose who was going to be saved and who was not going to be saved. And no matter how you cut it, no matter how you slice it, no matter how you boil it down, that's what Calvinism teaches. That if God chose you to be saved, you're going to be saved no matter what, it doesn't matter, and if God didn't choose you, there's nothing you can do about it. Now, they can try to dress it up and pretty it up and do whatever they want to it, but the truth is, that's what Calvinism teaches. Okay, that's what it teaches. And they can sidestep it and try to say, well, you know, no, that's what it is. That's what it is. At the heart of Calvinism is this: God chose these to be saved and these to be lost. Now, they won't always come right out and say, he chose those to be lost. A lot of times, they'll just say, he chose some to be saved. Okay, just because you're not saying he chose those to be lost, that's the same thing. If he chose these to be saved, then what about these over here? Like God didn't know what was going to happen to them? Okay? There is no predestination to heaven or hell. And let us just look at a few things. First of all, right here in verse 7, two words. I said in Sunday school that we were going to look at two words that made all the difference in one of these verses, and here they are. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men, through him might believe. Okay? All men. Look at the last part of that verse, through him might believe. Will everybody be saved? No. Could everybody be saved? Absolutely. Have people gone to hell already? Yes. Could they have avoided it? Absolutely. And then people want to talk about Pharaoh, God hardening his heart. Judas, and how he did what he was supposed to do, what he was purposed to do. That has nothing to do with predestination. If you want to know the answer to Pharaoh, God hardening his heart, and Judas, it's not that they did not have a chance. Was God aware that these men were never going to bow to him and put their faith in him? Okay, does God know if you're going to get saved or not? Okay, if God knows that Pharaoh's not going to bow, he's not going to get saved, then God's just going to go ahead and harden his heart and use him. If God knows, hey, Judas isn't going to get saved, not that he couldn't, but if he knows that he's not going to, he'll be the one that'll be used to betray Jesus. There is absolutely no way that God said, Pharaoh, I'm not even going to give you a chance. Judas, I'm not even going to give you a chance. That contradicts so many scriptures, it'll make your head spin if you try to count them all. But if God knew, Pharaoh is never going to bow to me. All right, if he's not, I'll use him in this way. I'll harden his heart. Judas is never going to bow to me, so he'll be the one to betray my son. All men. Let me ask you this. It's just amazing what happens when you read a Bible in plain English or whatever your language is that you're reading the Bible in, and you just read it for what it says. Because Calvinists have to insert. They have to do what is called, you don't have to remember this word, but it's called eisegesis, which means you're not Jesus the Savior. It's eisegesis means that you're reading something into the Scripture. To exegete means to bring out what is already there. That's exegesis, and then eisegesis means that you're reading something into it. You don't have to know those words. That doesn't matter. All you need to know is that's what they're doing. They're putting stuff in that isn't there. Okay? First of all, why does this verse say, okay, same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Look at verse 9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Why bother lighting every man and letting every man know that there's a God if some of them have no choice but to die lost? If God says, I will save those, I will not save those, why bother giving those the knowledge of Him if they're going to go to hell anyhow? And if this life is as good as it gets, I'd say they'd be better off not even knowing. If this life is as good as it gets for them because they have no choice, they're going to hell no matter what. And you add to that the knowledge of God, but that you can't do anything about it. Hey, there's a God, there's a Savior, but He's not going to save you because He's chosen not to save you. Or you might be one of the ones that He's not going to save. Would that not make this life more miserable than what it already is? Why not just not give them that knowledge if He's not going to save them? Let them live however they're going to live, because what's coming next is going to be far worse. Why bother? Why bother? Why would I invite you to my house? We sit around the table. I put a slice of cake in front of everybody. In front of everybody. And I say, Shane, Rachel, you don't touch yours. Okay, it's there. I let you know that we're having cake, but you can't have any. What sense would that make? You'd say, you're a terrible host. And if you really like cake, you'd say, you're awful mean. You'd say, that didn't make any sense. Why did you get the cake out if you're not going to let us off? Okay, God, why light every man and tell every man that you exist if some people can't do anything with that knowledge because you said that they couldn't? You've already predestined them to hell. Okay, it says all men. And why would He light all men if only some of them had a chance? 2 Peter 3:9. Let's just go ahead and turn there. 2 Peter 3:9. Which is, in my opinion, the absolute best verse in the Bible to refute this false doctrine of predestination. Now, is there a doctrine of predestination in the Bible? Absolutely. There is absolutely a doctrine of predestination. But it is not that God chose some people to be saved and some people to be lost. That's not what predestination is in the Scripture. Now, we're not going to go all the way into what that is this morning. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God doesn't want anybody to be lost, correct? Is that what this verse says? God does not want anybody to be lost. Another teaching of Calvinist is that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens, it's all the will of God. God's will is not always done on this earth. That's why Jesus told us to pray for God's will to be done. You see, God's will cannot always be carried out on this earth as long as He let man have a will of his own. And secondly, God doesn't want anybody to be lost, but people die lost every day, don't they? Okay? So you're telling me God doesn't want anybody to be lost, but He chose some of them to be lost. Come on. Come on, let's just read it. Okay, let's just read it and believe it. This book is challenging enough the way it is. Let's not add to it. Acts 17:30. I'm going to have to get in the right book. I was in Romans. It's a wonder I can even get a sermon put together. Always going the wrong place. Reading the wrong verses. You know, when I tell you to turn to a certain verse and then I realize I've written the wrong thing down in my notes, that's because sometimes whenever I'm making notes, everything's coming so fast. I'm writing it down, you know, and then when I go back, sometimes when I go back and look over my notes, I don't always catch it that I had that wrong, because I'll look at it and say, oh yeah, I know that verse, I know what, but I've written it down wrong. Acts 17:30 is where we want to be. Now look, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Wait, I thought some of them couldn't. I thought some of them had no choice. I thought some of them weren't chosen. Then why do they all have to repent? It's only going to do the chosen ones any good, right? Okay? John 3:16 tells us what? There's one word in there. Whosoever. Now here's what the Calvinist has to do. They have to read into it, and they have to say this. They have to say, well, John 1:7, all men, that's all the predestined. Whosoever means the ones that God has called. All men everywhere to repent. That's just the ones that he's called. You see what's going on? You have to add to the scripture to make that thinking make sense. You've got to read something into it to make it make sense. Here's a novel idea. How about we just read it for what it says and believe what it says? How about we just leave it there? How about you have two choices? I can read the Bible for what it says and believe it, or I can read the Bible and believe what man is saying that it means and read all these other things into it and twist this around and turn that around. You have no Bible that says, you have not one scripture that says this, all men are the predestined. You have not one scripture that says whosoever only means the chosen. You have not one scripture that says all men everywhere to repent, that's just those that are chosen. That is made up. That's a lie from the devil. You have to read that into it. You're imagining things that aren't there. But if you look and say, all men through him might believe, hey, that means everybody could be saved. Then what are you doing? You're going by what just the Bible says. Whosoever means whosoever. Isn't that a lot easier to understand? Doesn't that make a lot more sense when we just read it how it's written? Let's look at one more thing here. We're going to look at more than just one more thing, but I was reading this just now, and this just kind of stood out to me. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, before we finish out this chapter, we're going to look at the example of John the Baptist, but I want to touch on it here just a little bit, okay? I want to touch on it here just a little bit. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. What did John the Baptist come to do? We're going to talk about this later on as we get toward the end of the chapter. What did John the Baptist come to do? Tell other people about Jesus Christ. Point other people to Jesus Christ. Turn other people in the direction of Jesus Christ. You see, what we're going to see later on is some people are going to come up to John thinking he's the Messiah, and they're going to ask. And John's going to have this perfect opportunity to boast in himself and build himself up, and he just crawls underneath the pew and says, no, you're looking at the wrong man. No, it's all about Jesus. Okay, now here's what I want to point out to you. This is what just kind of stood out to me just now. You will witness to people. You'll tell people what the Bible says about something. You might be witnessing. You might be reproving something that's in their life. You might say, you know what the Bible says about that? And people are going to turn, some people are going to turn and get mad at you. And they're not going to like it. And they're going to start in with the don't judge me and all this stuff, okay? As if you wrote the Bible. Look what John the Baptist did. You're going to tell people how to be saved, and they're going to get mad at you like you're making all that up. You're going to tell people what the Bible says, and they're going to get mad at you like you're passing judgment upon them. You're going to tell people what the Bible says, and they're going to get so irritated with you. And they'll say, who are you to say that to me? You know what the best response is? I'm nobody. That's why I'm not saying it. God said it. This is not my opinion. I did not write this book. I am only telling you what this book says. I'm like that. I said this a couple weeks ago. I'm like that cop that gives the ticket and tells you what you did wrong. I'm not the judge that you have to stand in front of. You're going to stand in front of him one day. I'm just telling you what the infraction is. Who are you to tell me? Well, I'm nobody. I'm just a Christian telling you what the Bible says. I didn't write it. But who do we get mad at? We get mad at the person telling us. Well, what are you getting mad at me for? Well, because you said, no, I didn't. God said. I was just telling you what he said. I'm just the one that passed along the note. Okay? You will witness to people. You will tell people what God says about sin and about righteousness, and you'll tell them, and people are going to get mad and say, well, you have no right to tell me that. What did John do? He came to bear witness of the light. That's all you're doing. I didn't write this book. I didn't say you had to be saved only by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that. I'm just telling you that he said that. I believe it. Do you? I'm not telling you that there's a heaven and a hell. Jesus said there's a heaven and a hell. I'm just telling you what he said. I believe him. Do you? What's that old saying? Don't shoot the messenger. Man, some preacher had to come up with that one. Some Christian had to come up with that quote. Don't shoot the messenger. You know why they're angry with you? It's because they're angry with God, but you're the one they're looking at. They're going to act like it's you. They're angry with God. Jesus said we'd be hated for his sake. Okay? They're angry with you. They're angry with God, but you're the one they see, so you're the one that's going to get it. Hey, just take them right back and say, look, thus saith the Lord. I didn't say thus saith Grant. You don't want to know what thus saith Grant because it's usually wrong. It's only right when it agrees with the Word. To think correctly is to think biblically. It's the only way to think correctly is to think biblically. So what did John do? Did he come telling people what he thought about Jesus? Did he come telling people what his opinion was about Jesus? Did he come telling people what he thought they ought to do? Did he come with his own 12-step program? Did he come with his own ideas on how they ought to live life? Did he come with his book on self-improvement? No, it says he was not that light. And he even told them, in so many words, I'm not Jesus. I just came to tell you about him. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. They're mad at you because they're mad at God. You're just receiving their wrath because you're the one that they can look at. You're the one they can see. You're the one that they can yell at. They don't get any satisfaction going home and standing out in their backyard and looking up to the heavens and yelling at God because all they see is stars. But you, they can look at. Who are you to say? Who are you to say? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I'm just telling you what he said. John didn't come with his own opinions. He didn't come with his own ideas. He came to tell people about Jesus Christ. And as I said, as we get to the end of this chapter, we're going to see that a little bit more. We're going to see that example, and we're going to learn from that. But are you following that example? Would you rather tell somebody your opinion, or would you rather just tell them what the Bible says? I'd rather tell them what the Bible says, because for one, it's truth. Two, I can always pass the buck. Come on, you might think that's still... I didn't like how you said that. I didn't. Jesus said it. I like being able to pass the buck to someone who can handle it. I like being able to pass the buck to someone who... You get mad at me all you want. I didn't say it. Go take it up with him. That's nice, isn't it? That's nice to be able to say. I want to tell people what the Bible said because it's true. But I don't want my opinion in there, because if my opinion gets in there, I got to fight with you. I got to argue with you. We got to argue over opinions and differences. But if I leave my opinion out, it will stop every argument. It might not satisfy the other person. But you can't stand there and argue with someone who says, God said it. How do you keep fighting with that person? Now, if it's my opinion, you and I might get into it. We might tussle. We might argue. But if it's Bible, how can we argue with each other? You tell me something the Bible says, how can I argue with you? You tell me your opinion, we might have a little spat. I hope we don't. But we could fight over opinions all day. But if two people believe, thus saith the Lord, you can't argue with that. John didn't come with his ideas. He didn't come with the things that he thought. Here's what he did. He came and told people about Jesus. And church, quit trying to convince people to get saved. Quit trying to think of clever ways to get people to get saved. Quit trying to think of little gimmicks and methods to get more people to listen and cut. You can't do it. You can't do it. Just bear witness of Jesus Christ. Just tell them the gospel. Just tell them the truth. And let the Holy Spirit take it from there. You can't do it. Well, maybe if we did it this way, maybe if we did it that way. There was a time when I was first called to preach that I used to think like that. I used to think, how do I answer these arguments? What can I say that would get these people to listen? And I'm not saying, you know, God spoke to me, I heard his voice, but you know, to my heart, God, you know, speaks to us. And it was like God was saying, you can't. And you're not supposed to. You can't figure out clever ways to get people to listen to what you're saying, and you're not supposed to. You're just supposed to sow the seed. Or if it's already been sown and he wants you to water, you just go water it. He is the one that will give the increase. So we just preach Jesus. I know this has been kind of strange. We've looked at two different things. We've looked at how Calvinism and predestination, the way they preach it, is not true. And then we've looked at this. It's okay. That's okay. Okay, we don't have to have a standard formula. We're just going through verse by verse preaching the Bible. And we didn't even touch the main thing I was going to look at this morning about what he did. Didn't even ball this up and didn't even do it. It's all right. It's all right. There is no such thing as God choosing some people to be saved and some people to be lost. That contradicts all of Scripture. Whosoever, not willing that any should perish. All men everywhere to repent. All men. He lighteth every man. No, the truth is God has made it possible for every person who's ever taken a breath of life to be saved. The decision's theirs. What is predestination? That those who would be saved through Jesus Christ, and they would be his called, his group. You see, it's the group, it's the body. Salvation through Jesus Christ is what God predestined. The body of believers, that those who would be saved would become His children, that's what He decided early on. He didn't decide, it'll be Randy, it'll be Anna, it'll be Diana, it'll be Dwayne. What would you do if I came to one of you and went and skipped over you to somebody else? Wouldn't that make you mad? I just thought, that's how this brain works. I almost thought about making that joke, and I thought, that'll make somebody mad. That's not what God did. He didn't say, that one, I'll take that one. Look, God isn't choosing apples at the grocery store. Okay, He's not taking ears of corn. Oh, that one's, oh, get rid of it. No, it's, you can all have it. It's up to you. Now, if you do, here's what I've predestined. Here's what I've decided in advance. Those of you that will believe in My Son, I will make you My children. I will give you eternal life. That's what God has predestined. Okay? And then I hope that we leave here with this. And I guess the two kind of tie together. I don't understand evangelism in Calvinism. They say, well, we don't know who the chosen are. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If they're going to be saved no matter what, they're going to get the gospel anyhow. What do you bother with it for? They'll find a track somewhere. I mean, if God chose them, He's going to make sure they get that track, right? But why do they even need the track if He's... But why do we go out and give people the gospel? Because everybody could be saved. And they won't all get saved, and we don't know who all is going to get saved, but they all could. That's why we try to get the gospel to everybody. And when we take the gospel to them, we take the gospel alone. We don't put our own methods, we don't put our opinions, we don't try to tell it our way. We just go out there and say, thus saith the Lord. You know, earlier I said it was, you know, don't shoot the messenger. It's probably a Christian that came up with that. Here's another one. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You do realize God doesn't need our help, right? You do realize He doesn't need our help. The gospel is not insufficient, and we've got to do something. We've got to make it more relevant. I get so tired of hearing that. We just want our church to be relevant. What that means is we want a party. We want lost people and carnal Christians to have fun here and feel comfortable here. That's what that means. Christ has never ceased to be relevant. You know why? Because since the garden, there have always been lost people, and Christ has always been their only hope, and that makes Him relevant in all ages, and He will never cease to be relevant. There are things that come and go. There are things that come and go. Things that we thought would be around forever, and they're not anymore. I may be one of the few people in this building that still has a record player. And that's because I enjoy the sound of a record more than the sound of any other medium. I like that scratchy, poppy. I like it. There's just something about it that I like. But probably none of us, maybe somebody, but probably none of us have any 8-tracks anymore. Most of us don't even have any cassettes anymore. When I was working at the elementary school, this teacher was going through some stuff, getting rid of some stuff, and she found one of the old computer discs, you know, the floppy, the big thing. You know, 3 kilobytes will fit on there. Let me notch it. Let me cut a notch in it so that you can't save anything over what I've written on there. Put that big thing in. Close that door. It's like closing a vault on it. 5 hours later, it saved your 1-page document. Remember those? Remember when the little hard ones came along? All right, I put it in my pocket. You know, now we've got these little flash drives. People don't even hardly carry flash drives now. I got these. It's usually right here on the phone. Okay? She found some of those old discs, and I took one into another teacher's classroom, and I walked in, and I held it up, and I said, who knows what this is? They were 4th graders. One kid jumped up. He was so sure. It's a record. And these kids, they're just all over. One kid finally said, that's what they used to use in computers. One kid knew it. One kid knew it. Things come. You know what? Those big discs, they're not relevant anymore, are they? 8-tracks aren't relevant. Even on the record player, 78s aren't relevant. 33.5, some 45, 78, they were made out of metal. Those were back on the old crank Victrola. They're not relevant anymore, are they? CDs are just about on their way out. Everything's digital. Everything's online. Everything's, you know, it's not relevant anymore. You can't hardly buy a cassette anywhere if you can at all. It's just not relevant. Jesus Christ has never ceased to be and will never cease to be relevant as long as people are dying and going to hell. You see, when it comes to media and tapes and things like that, people's needs change. I need to be able to store more. I need this to last longer. I need this to work better. But man's need for salvation has never and will never change until the millennial reign of Christ. So the answer is never going to change. So don't try to tell people what you think or what you think is going to convince them. Just give them the gospel. Why aren't people getting saved as frequently as they used to? Well, we're getting closer to that apostasy. But I can't help but think that a big part of it is because people just aren't preaching the truth anymore. Because these methods don't save people. E.M. Bounds said, man is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. Just men who'll go out and preach the gospel and say, look, that's what the Bible says. Don't try to add anything. Don't try to take anything. That's just what the Bible says. Let's pray, and then here in a moment we're going to approach the Lord's table. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your Word, all that it means to us, all that it's done for us. And I pray that we would just understand it. We'd be changed by it. And just encourage us to go out and preach the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. That we would go out and we would just tell people what the Bible says, just as John the Baptist did, that we would bear witness of You and Your Son. Keep our opinions out of it and just tell people what the Bible says. And I pray that You would just strengthen us and help us to do that and be the witness You'd have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.